Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
It takes a lot of courage and a lot of confidence to do what our special guest today has done, and that's fire all his clients and start an email-based business. But Alan Dragu did just that, and he's here to tell us about it. He's a best-selling author of the book Meaningful Marketing. He spent 5 years as director of marketing in one of the fastest-growing churches in the U.S., and 3 years as VP of growth at a Christian marketing agency. Alan is definitely a copywriter's copywriter. He's obsessed with reading novels and old sales letters. And he admits he's secretly obsessed with luxury watches, something Nathan's a collector of as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And finally, in case you end up taking Alan to dinner, which probably wouldn't be a bad idea for you or him, you should know that he's never refused a steak ever in his life. I can't wait to talk to him right after this. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear in this podcast, and most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So, Alan, welcome, and thanks for making time to see us.
Man, I'm so glad to be here. Great to meet you, David.
Great to meet you, too. So, could you give us a quick tour of what you do these days?
Yeah. Simple point is I write an email every single day. I make YouTube videos, and I run a private school community where I teach copywriters how to build their own business, sell their own stuff, own email list on the internet.
Okay. And this is a business model. I mean, the YouTube videos and the emails lead magnets to products, right? Could you walk us through that a little bit?
Yeah. So the business model, it's a very simple funnel. I actually call it my arm funnel. It's audience, relationship, money. So I build an audience on YouTube. So I picked a platform, and I've spent a lot of time like on Twitter, but nowadays I just like mess around on Twitter, say what's up to people and hang out. But I build an audience on one platform. My platform of choice is YouTube. And we could dive into that a little bit later if you want. But that I post, I'll teach content, I'll teach copywriting specifically on YouTube. And I'll plug my lead magnet on every video. That gets people onto my email list. And then when they're on my email list, they get one email per day from me. And that email, at the end of every email, I make an offer for them to buy one of my products, whether it's, you know, school community or template pack or, you know, copywriting course or anything like that. So that's the whole model. It's not fancy. it's very dumb.
Well, you know, sometimes the best things are very simple, but I like to say the answer is always simple, but getting there is never simple. You might have had to experiment with a few things before you figure this out, right?
Oh yeah, I bumbled around for 18 months before I was like, oh, that, now I get it. Yeah, I tried all kinds of stuff where, yeah, you look like an idiot for a little bit, but you know, and
that's one of the reasons
I try and teach people. Yeah, exactly. You know, you try and learn from all kinds of different people. You put their practices into play, and then you're like, oh, this works for me, this doesn't work for me type stuff, you know?
Yeah, I think I don't know where I saw this. I don't believe it's original with me, but I love this saying. You have to remember that best practices are, they were best practices for someone else. And you know, they eventually got, you know, raised in prominence, but doesn't mean it's a best practice for you. You have to try it out and see, right?
I think that's a great quote for all the things we may talk about in this video, because some of the stuff we may see, people would be like, that's insane. We'd be like, yeah, it might not work for you.
All right. I want to drill down on one very specific thing, and please take as much time as you want on this one, because I think it'd be really useful to everyone.
Okay.
Everyone who writes copy or buys copy from other people, reviews copy, collaborates on copy, suggests copy. You have this SLO framework to write your emails. Now, here in California, SLO stands for San Luis Obispo, which is about halfway down the coast. I'm sure that's not what you meant. So what does SLO stand here for here?
That's funny. That's a good question. So SLO, my slow framework, it's a framework that I use literally every single day. I've used this exact same framework for almost 3 years. So what is that? 1,000 emails. Okay. So over 1,000 emails, I've used this framework. And what it stands for, story, lesson, offer. It's how I break down every single email that I send, because when you send a daily email, if I don't have like some sort of structure to put it in, it makes writing the email infinitely harder, you know, which it's already hard to make sure you get awesome ideas and turn those into great emails regardless. So what I've done with the SLO framework is I've broken it down to where 80% of my email should be the story, 10% should be a lesson, and then the last 10% should be an offer. Okay. And it doesn't always work like, you know, obviously percentages, it's not going to be exactly like that, but it's a framework that reminds me like, hey, the majority of this email should be a very entertaining story. Something awesome. That story, I should be able to extract a lesson out of that story that teaches my audience, which are copywriters, it teaches them something about copywriting or marketing that will help them grow their business. And then the offer is usually tied to the lesson. The offer is, if I teach you something via the lesson, it's usually calling out some sort of problem or pain that you have. And the offer, as best I can, is usually tied to, hey, and if you need help solving this problem or pain, you can pick this up, you can join this or whatever. And so it should all stack together. Does that
make sense? And I'm not saying you're making that sound easy, because you've already said something is hard, but I think it still sounds easier than it is, because the offer has to align with the lesson, which has to align with the story. That's not always easy. You know, figuring out a story and a lesson that's going to transition into your offer naturally and keeping the emotional momentum going, right? I mean, you have to kind of work backwards from that in a way.
You know what? Candidly, I never work backwards from it.
Okay.
I almost always... Because the story is 80% of the email, and it's also 80% of the momentum. And so if I have a great story, and this, I think some people are wired differently. If I have a great story, I have no issue finding a lesson or an offer. Like, honestly, that's the easiest part. The easiest part is finding the lesson or the offer. Keeping it congruent, you do have to have a robust product lineup. That was kind of my problem in the beginning. I was like, well, I got one problem. I got one product and it doesn't solve all these problems. So over the years, you start building more products, you start doing affiliates and stuff like that. It does get a bit easier.
How many products do you have now?
Seven or eight.
Okay.
Seven or eight.
And they solve substantially different problems from each other.
Yes, right. I have like a written course on how to write entertaining emails. So that's one problem. I have a template pack on, you know, writing tweets, emails, meta ads, landing page copy. It's like 280 templates to get you started. Handwritten by humans without AI. Pretty wild. That's crazy stuff in 2026.
Yeah.
I was like, I manually wrote these templates. So good luck. So template pack. And then I have my copy creator community, which is my school. It's a school online community where people join and they pay and they subscribe and, you know, they get access to me and coaching and things like that. So and a couple other products. It just solve different problems.
So they're in the realm of copywriting, but they're focused on very different issues.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Typically, and this is that like that, you know, David Ogilvy like big idea. I try and take the same like David Ogilvy big idea concept when making a product. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, what's the big idea of this product? Like when somebody sees this, they're like, boom, I get it. I know exactly the one thing I'm going to get out of this product, which that is harder than it sounds, because, you know, like even my email writing product, you know, you could position it for, it gets you more sales or it gets you, you know, it gets you more subscribers or whatever. But, you know, just choosing one thing to say, no, this thing gets you or it helps you write better emails, or that same concept goes for email writing. Like when I write one email, it's what's the one lesson from that? What's the one story? I'm not going to bounce a bunch of stories. I'm going to tell one story to one lesson to one offer. That is harder than it looks, is trying to keep it so simple and clean. Yeah, you're definitely right about that.
Cool. So how do you, so then behind that, you have a YouTube video. How long are the videos and how do they tie into the whole SLO framework, or do they?
They don't. I actually don't do SLO on videos. So this is hilarious. So most people on YouTube, like if you want to grow on YouTube, there's a lot of people like entertaining on YouTube, right? That's how people go viral. Well, I hard teach on YouTube. I treat YouTube like a search engine. And it's actually the reason I like YouTube so much is, one, I'm actually not afraid of the camera. I love being on camera, which is weird for most copywriters, right?
It is,
right? And so I was like, well, I can use this to a competitive edge because there's very few copywriters teaching copywriting content on YouTube. Maybe five, maybe, which is crazy because there's like millions of us. And so on YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world behind Google. And so I treat it like a search engine to where I create hard teaching content. Basically, what I do is I write a long form article, like a 3,000 word authority piece article, because my daily emails, they're fun, they're entertaining, they tell a story, but a lot of that can bring out like, okay, who is this guy? Is he full of shit? You know, like, what does he know? You know, type things, you know, other than the fact that you'll read my stories and you'll buy my stuff because, you know, it was persuasive. But in that sense, I like the YouTube way of breaking down like really hard step-by-step teaching of, you know, a copywriting framework, a business building tactic or anything like that. Just things that I'm learning, and turn those into probably 5 to 15 minute videos and treat YouTube like a search engine. Whoever's searching stuff.
Oh, so you might write the 3,000 word article and make several videos out of it. You might just give little chunks of it.
I could. I don't do that.
That's not what you do.
No. I write a very long article, and then basically I riff on that article for a YouTube video, like the whole thing.
So you never publish the article?
Oh, I do publish the article. Yeah, so I repurpose it. So I publish the article on my website. I publish it on Substack. I publish it on Medium. I turn it into a Twitter thread. So I take that one article and I turn it into 7 or 8 different pieces of content on different social platforms that all point to my email list. So
okay, but the email might have nothing to do with the article.
No. Oh, no. The email definitely doesn't have anything to do with the article.
Okay. That's interesting.
So all right. So there's a separate world. I post all this content on social media to attract people to my email list. And so that long form article is just an authority piece online where people might read that and be like, whoa, this is really, really good. And my call to action at the end of that, if it's on social media, will be like, hey, and if you enjoyed this, you would love my daily emails. And that gets them to the email list. So yeah, the article and the YouTube video and the Twitter thread and all that is just to attract people interested in copywriting so that by the time they finish reading it, they join my email list. So it's a list growth tool.
Okay. Could we drill down a little bit on one of your recent YouTube videos and just walk us through what you covered and how much depth you went into and takeaways? And I mean, you don't have to redo it, but just kind of give us a little bit of an idea.
Yeah. You know, I actually recorded one today. I recorded one today. It's not published yet. I could do a published one or a not published one. Which one's funner?
Not published yet.
Okay, so I recorded a video today, and it was actually my most viral video last year with the title, If I Started Copywriting in 2025, I'd Do This. Great headline. Worked. Had over 20,000 views last year. It was one of my most viral videos. And so, of course, I looked at my analytics and I said, well, I'm going to remake that again.
Sure.
But so I remade that video, but I made it differently. Last year, I basically taught you how to get a couple really good e-com clients because that was working really, really well. Well, this year, I'm basically teaching you how to not do any client work at all and build an email-based business because that's what I would do. So I basically broke down in the YouTube video. I give an intro about my background. what I've been doing and how I'm building a 2 hour per day email based business. And I break it out into six sections. Like step one, build a plan, right? Hey, here's how I would build a plan. A why, what, how. Here's how I would track the plan. Here's the analytics I would look at, my revenue, all that stuff. And then, you know, step two, pick a niche. Okay, here's how I pick a niche. I use a 4P framework called passion, person, problem, and profit. And I figure those things out. Here's how I'd find them, blah, blah. I literally just give it all away. I teach those things into like five, six steps from like start to zero. And then I record a video, turn that into an article, post it online, ends up about, you know, 3,000 to 5,000 words. And then at the very end of it, I'm like, hey, if you enjoyed this video, if you enjoyed this article, you know, I write ton more stuff like this and I can help you. And I'll usually point to one of my lead magnets, like a free copywriting guide or, you know, 100 hook templates or whatever's relevant to the video. Congruency is super important to me. Like whatever I'm talking about in the video, I try and have a lead magnet that's really congruent to match, you know, what they clicked on the video for to increase the conversion rate on my lead magnets.
Okay, so what I'm seeing big picture is you start out with a ton of free valuable content. Yeah. And then, you know, both in your video and then a lead magnet, and then you entertain them and sell them every day.
Every day. Yeah, every day. Which is in reverse because most people entertain online.
Right.
And they try and build authority via email. But what I've found, I did that for a long time until I found Ben Settle like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And for what? I was like, for whatever reason, I can't stop reading this freaking guy's emails. Like, yeah. He would send me an email every day. And I couldn't figure it out because, like, everybody else, you know, I subscribe to 1,000 newsletters and everybody teaching you and all this stuff. And the essence of it is you're bored. You're bored. It is semi-boring to get, you know, definitely a daily email. If somebody was trying to teach you, you get information overwhelm. You feel like, oh, my God, I'm never going to do anything with all. And then you just unsubscribe because you're like, this is horrible. And so the thing that I figured out, oh, gosh, it's been a long time since I started reading Ben's stuff. I don't know how long it was, but it's been a long time. When I started reading Ben's stuff, I realized I kept reading it because it was fun. I was like, dude, this is hilarious. This guy is so funny.
Yeah.
And he would just tell these crazy stories, and I'm like, it was so funny. And so I started learning from Ben, started buying some of his products to figure out, how the heck does this guy do that? And adopted it to my style, and I was, you know, I obviously write very different from Ben. Yeah. Stole his model, but write very different.
Yeah.
But that I figured out the model works. People love being entertained, and they'll open up your email tomorrow because you made them laugh yesterday.
That's really true. So you said, and I hope you're still willing to do this, that you would explain, you said maybe we can use the coffee story, the $613 you spent on coffee example, right? Which I thought was terrific, and because I'm a bit of a coffee nut too, and cheers. So maybe you could tell us how to write an entertaining story, because of course my whole thing with, you know, with my book, which you have recommended, and I appreciate it, Persuasion Story Code, my whole thing is entertaining stories are not what works in copy, and you're saying, oh yes they are, and let me show you how I do it. So show me how you do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know if you want me to just read it out or
yeah, why don't you read it out, and then we talk about it, and then we can go meta and discover the structure. How's that?
Okay, awesome. So I wrote this story. This is my Black Friday email, by the way, which when you get to the offer, that makes it that much more funny, by the way. So I wrote this story. The subject line is, I spent $613 on coffee, which, if I dare say so myself, is a pretty hilarious subject line.
It is.
All right, so the story is, I open my email, and my email inbox looks like this. And there's a screenshot of my email inbox with all the Black Friday subject lines. And this is, by the way, this is from the context, a very boring moment in my life. The moment is genuinely, I'm sitting on the couch, I'm scrolling my email, and I buy a coffee machine while I'm on the couch. So the context is, this moment is pretty boring.
Right.
But the way we rewrite it turns it hilarious and fun. Right? And so that's how I start. I open my email inbox and it looks like this. And then I show them a screenshot of my email inbox and I say, I judge each subject line with purest obnoxiousness, which I do. And then I start calling out the subject lines that I read in my inbox because I'm a copywriter. And why would you not do that? You judge everything. Mm-hmm. Like one, it says 3 days left. That's it. And then I make fun of it. Which genius AI model thought of that one for you? Or Black Friday starts now. Somebody give this marketing intern a raise from $0 to 0.00. There's still time left until you extend your sales again next week. And then the subject line that caught my eye, one button barista level lattes, 70% off. And then I do this technique where it's called internal dialogue. When there's nobody else in the room and there's no other context, one of the ways I like to spice up my emails is I talk to myself. I let myself get in a conversation with my head because my head could be a lot more, you know, brute and funny than just like me talking out loud, right? Because I'm a pretty chill guy. So I start talking to myself and my head says, sir, you have my attention and you may have my wallet's attention. Finally, a benefit headline, which is me just trying to teach why it caught my attention. I said, so I open the email. Super automatic espresso maker. It holds the beans, the milk, the water. Turn it on, push, latte, bada bing, bada boom. This is where I start injecting a ton of energy because I'm like, this is a boring moment. I got to make it fun. And I say, the barista lord descends from heaven and brews your latte right before your eyes. It's like the convenience of a Keurig without tasting like someone took a dump in your coffee. I try and inject the humor, right? You want to make it funny. You want to make it funny. Why? And then I start talking to myself again. Click it, Alan. Do it now. No. Restrain yourself. Ah, my finger. I cannot control. Why is it in my cart? No. I have a Chemex. I have a French press. A DeLonghi. Why do I need or want another super incredible one-touch latte sexy coffee machine that costs $613 after taxes? This is me overcoming my own objections. I'm trying to put my reader through what I put them through. Like, I know they read my stuff, and I'm trying to overcome their objections. So I'm trying to parallel that moment for them. And then I go further. Does it take me 20 minutes to make a pour over in the morning? Yes. Do I wake up late and want coffee immediately? Yes. Am I convincing myself to buy this thing? Yes. Which, right, David Ogilvy's, get them nodding yes. Get them nodding yes. Yeah. They're subtle, like, copywriters will get this, and it's for them. It's inside jokes. So then I keep going. I start talking to myself. Oh, no. An upsell pop-up. Do I want extended warranty? You fool. You imbecile. That's the best you've got? How about, do I want a bag of coffee or new espresso cups? Come on, Kohl's. Don't you know that upsell 101 is congruent offers? Your marketing intern has officially been demoted back to $0. Okay, so then, again, I'm teaching in a fun way where it's like, Kohl's gave me an incongruent offer. They tried to sell me warranty when I just bought a coffee machine, which is the stupidest upsell in the world, you know? And so I'm trying to make it fun and teach them at the same time. Then I go back to, confirmation email. Your new item arrives in 2 days. And to celebrate, I'm going to drink espresso and write emails. And this is all caps. Now I'm nuts. Can you tell I've been drinking espresso? And then this is the pivot. This is where most people don't catch it, where it's all caps. And it says, can you tell I've been drinking espresso? And then the next line shifts over to my offer. Or maybe I'm just excited about my own Black Friday offer.
That's really good.
I go from
curiosity and enthusiasm, motivate. I love it. That's really a good turn.
And then I give you the worst Black Friday offer of all the emails in that day, which I think is hilarious because I don't like doing Black Friday offers. I think I don't do it anymore. So I say, or maybe I'm just excited about my own Black Friday offer. I'm doing this new thing where you pay me 100% of my asking price to receive 100% of my product. It's wild. It works across all of my products. There's no code needed at all. And you could just click whichever product you want. And then I link like five of my products, which is so
stupid. You are contrarian. Oh my God. That's funny, dumb.
And then I say, put it in your cart, pay me exactly what I'm asking for, and bam, you will receive 100% of the benefit of my already good products instantly. Amazing. Snag those up and enjoy your Black Friday. Your copywriting friend, Alan. By the way, that got sales. I was like, I'm going to shoot myself in the foot with this email, but I don't care.
People might be refreshed. The guys, you know, no bullshit. Just just straight on, hey, this is what I do. This is what you can get. Here you go. Want it or not? I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was one that's like, you get stuff like that, and I have more toned back emails, and I try and keep them on their toes. But that would be like a normal email you may get from me, and it's fun, it's exciting, and you know, hopefully I sell you something.
That's really good. We're running towards the end, but I want to find out, you got an email based business. How do you deal with trolls and unsubscribes and all the rest of that?
You know, that's a great question. I mentioned my friend and who I would consider a mentor from afar, Ben Settle. He has a lot of content on how he deals with trolls, and I've learned so much from him, and I do probably 1% of it.
Okay.
Candidly, I just block them. Sometimes I'll turn it into content. Like if some troll says something really stupid and I think it's hilarious, I will for sure possibly turn it into an email where I make fun of it. And, you know, something you could do is you could do like a coupon code, like with the troll's name on it or something like that. Hey, get 10% off my products, you know, using, you know, coupon code troll or whatever, you know. But most of the time I just block them, especially around the holidays. Like people come, I don't know what's going on with them. They come out of the woodworks and they're just mean.
Oh yeah. It's not always the happiest time of the year for everyone all the time. That's for sure.
Which is a good troll methodology, just knowing that typically these people are unhealthy, they're mad about their lives, and they're just punching upwards at people who are actually doing stuff they wish they were doing. I've never had someone more successful than me troll me. Never.
Oh yeah. They don't.
Because they won't. Because they're
too busy
stuff.
Actually doing something.
Yeah, they're winning. And so I'm like, you know what? This person's an unhealthy person. There's 7 billion people in the world. And, you know, I'm going to block the however many people just don't want to interact with me. So I don't really worry about trolls. Unsubscribes, that's a real thing. You know, I probably get 5 to 10 unsubscribes a day. Just off a daily email. So it's 50 to 70 per week. That's a lot of unsubscribes, you know? And so the way I
do you get enough new ones to make up for it?
Exactly. Yeah. The way I mitigate that is typically, you know, posting a lot of content online to grow my list. So I typically double it. Like I'll get 150 to 200 subs per week. You lose 50 to 70, you know? So sometimes it's a net like 100, 125 new subs per week, sometimes more, sometimes less. But I already made the decision long ago that this business model really works for me, and I'm okay with that. And so you got to be okay with certain things.
Cool.
I'm going to jump in real quick. Number one, unsubscribers, good. You don't want people who aren't reading and aren't buying on your list anyways. It hurts your list to have a bunch of inactive people. And then as far as trolls go, I take the same approach. Number one, I don't ever call the trolls out by name, but I'm a big fan of monetize your haters. You're going to have haters. If you're going to be successful, you're going to attract haters. You might as well learn how to monetize them. And instead of attacking them personally, attack the thing about them. Attack the idea that they're trying to promote. If you've got a contrarian point of view and somebody says, oh yeah, well, blah, 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 attack the sacred cow that they're holding on to. Attack the idea that doesn't actually work. And that does the us versus them. It shows that you're willing to plant a flag on a hill. And for the people that get why the hater is wrong, those people will rally behind you even stronger. I've had people attack me for pretty crazy things. I've gone through the cancel culture situation a couple of times myself. Every time it's happened, I've had people reach out to clients and be like, did you know that Nathan believes this? And it ends up resulting in, well, yeah, that's why we hired him. So don't, in my opinion, don't shy away from it. Maybe don't make it a personal thing, but look at how you can use it to your advantage to rally the troops.
It's good wisdom, Nate. Very good wisdom there. A student of the troll monetization methods.
Absolutely. Okay, before we're out of here, where can people go if they want to? You mentioned you had a YouTube channel. Do you got a website? Where can people go to find out more about what it is that you do and maybe sign up for your list?
Yeah, the simplest thing to do is just go to my website, which is alandragoo.com. I'm sure you'll spell it right in the show notes because people won't spell it right. It's a pretty weird name, but that's got my YouTube channel and articles and email list, and it's got free stuff on it. So it's got all my lead magnets. So head over to alandragu.com. It's got everything you need there.
Nice. And we will make sure to include that in the show notes. So if you want a quick link to Alan's work, head on over to copywriterspodcast.com. Anything else before we're out of here, David?
No, just want to thank Alan. This is really fun and pretty valuable, too.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for having me. This is great. David, I've read multiple of your books multiple times. Persuasion Story Code is one of my favorites. So thank you so much for writing that.
Sure.
And leading the way for a generation of copywriters where we can study true direct response. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for saying that.
All right.
Absolutely.
Until next time, we will catch you later.
When you have some copy and the performance of the copy is mission critical, who are you going to call? Not Ghostbusters. They don't do copy critiques, last time I checked. A lot of people, from the most advanced to the up-and-coming copywriters, reach out to me. I do copy critiques. One client, Brett Alcorn, has hired me 20 times. Yep, 20 times. That's because on the very first critique I did for him, he doubled his conversions on a video sales letter. Every month, I do a handful of critiques for GKIC members. These are copywriters and small business owners who are trained and experienced, but they need another set of experienced eyes to go over their copy to take it to the next level. One A-lister told me, I go over copy like an IRS auditor. Now, I wasn't sure whether to take that as a compliment or not, but he assured me it was. He said, I can find the one flaw or several flaws in copy that no one else was able to, and make winning suggestions on how to fix them. So, when you need a copy critique, just go to garfinkelcoaching.com and click on the services tab, garfinkelcoaching.com, for a critique. Thank you. And now, back to the show.